the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 18th of September, 2018. And you are, of course, listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, we've got some good news to begin with today. And this actually comes from the Daily Express. It comes from a mainstream newspaper. And they say, the electoral success of far-right parties across Europe is becoming hard to ignore, with right-wingers eating into support of traditional mainstream parties. Now, the very fact that they're actually calling some of these parties far-right, I would question. You can't really call the Sweden Democrats far-right. I mean, you may be able to call Alternative for Sweden far-right. You can't really call Viktor Orban far-right. You can't really call Salvini Martini far-right. They're basically putting forward policies that the Conservative Party would have put across 30 years ago or 40 years ago. It just shows you how things are always moving towards the left. They're always moving so far to the left that parties that would have been considered centre 30 or 40 years ago are now considered to be far-right. And of course, part of this is an attempt to marginalise the real nationalist parties as being extremists or being, in some instances, being classed as terrorists. That's the point of calling these centre parties far-right, is so that anyone that is actually to the right of them can then be classed as terrorists or neo-Nazis. That's the point of it. The political parties throughout the continent have fragmented and most have shifted towards the right, with many examples to prove so. And again, this is something else that we've seen. The mainstream parties themselves are having to actually change their rhetoric because of the popularity of the civic nationalist parties. In 2017, Germans saw the success of far-right AfD, who became the third largest party after the general election. I believe they're actually now the opposition. The Alternative for Deutschland are the opposition in Germany. And 2017 was also a successful year for right-wingers in Austria, where the Freedom Party, the FPO, became junior partner in a coalition with the Conservative parties. And again, they call the Freedom Party far-right, but they don't really seem to be doing anything that is far-right. The allegation that they are that comes from after the war, when people that had been sympathetic to National Socialism formed a new party, and that's now called the Freedom Party. And if you look at the Scottish National Party, that had links with people that were sympathetic to National Socialism. And you could hardly call today's SNP a neo-Nazi party. Now, could you? They're calling for immigration, unlimited immigration into Scotland. They're closer to a communist party than anything else, the SNP, but they did actually begin with sympathies towards National Socialism. While Marine Le Pen's National Front was defeated in the French elections last year, the party has now been renamed National Rally, and the hardliner has said she will seek to gain power through forming coalitions with allies for the next polls. And they've actually been called National Rally for quite some time now, but only officially since yesterday. Earlier in 2018, Italians saw two anti-immigration populist parties, the Five Star Movement and the League, forming a coalition government. And I think that's possibly the most inspiring thing that I've seen this year, because the Five Star Movement are left-wing, and the League, or Lega, the Lega Nord, they are right wing. So what we've actually got there, we've got the socialists and nationalists forming a coalition. And the government itself is hugely popular with the people. And this is something that we could have seen happen in France. And instead, when the National Front looked like they were actually second, Marine Le Pen was second in the first round of polling. And then once we got to the last round of polling, we saw that these groups working together to keep the nationalists out. And this is what didn't actually happen in Italy. Instead of working together with other leftist groups to keep the League out, the Five Star Movement said, no, we're not going to work with you. And now they've ended up making a coalition with the League. And as I say, they've been hugely popular. So this proves that left can work with the right. They don't have to keep the nationalists out. We can find points that we agree on and work together. I dare say that this Five Star Movement, you know, they love their country just as much as the nationalists in the League do. They just got different ideas about how things should be done. And because of that, they've been able to work together. You know, I dare say there are probably quite a few politicians, even in Labour and the Conservative Party, that actually do care about their country, and they're not traitors. It's just that they've been misled. That's all it is. I mean, when you look at the policies of National Socialism, it's very hard to disagree with them. Take the one that says that the media should actually be owned by the people who the media is for. I mean, that's just sensible. I bet if you were to talk to anyone that goes against the mainstream media and says that the mainstream media is fake news, and you will find people on the left that say this, if you were to say to them, well, shouldn't the media actually be owned by the people that it's for? And they would agree. They would agree with you. And if you were to point out the National Socialist policy of getting rid of usury and helping the poor, helping people into work, then you would find leftists that would agree with that as well. So this is inspiring to see what's happening in Italy, to see the left and the right working together and forming this coalition government. And they just seem to be getting better and better. It was Matteo Salvini has got massive support from the people. He's got a huge approval rating, and he's refusing to back down to these attacks from the European Union. Other European countries where right-wingers are gaining support include Poland, with its Law and Justice Party. And the Law and Justice Party are in power, and Poland, so far, has managed to keep itself 98.9% white. It's managed to keep the Muslims out. And, of course, it's constantly being attacked by the EU. I'm not so certain that it is far right. Again, I think they're just conservative. They're just a centre party. They don't want to replace the Polish people with Africans. And why should that be a far-right position to hold? I mean, most of these so-called far-right groups, they're only holding to the same policies and ideas that your grandparents had. That's all it is. Are everybody's grandparents, are they all far-right neo-Nazis? No, of course they're not. And if people were to realise this, that what this term far right actually means is just traditionalist, then it would take some of the sting out of it. It would certainly take a lot of the sting out of it when you think about it. Other European countries where right wingers are gaining support include Poland with its Law and Justice Party, Hungary with Prime Minister Viktor Orban, an outspoken critic of the EU's migrant crisis, and Slovenia, with the anti-immigrant Slovenian Democratic Party becoming the largest party in this year's election. And Viktor Orban is becoming a bit of a totem for the anti-immigrant parties in Europe. He's the main man. I know that there are Hungarians that don't think very much of him. They think that he's involved in crony politics and helping his buddies out rather than the people. But all of that really should pale in comparison to what he's done to actually keep the place white and the things that he says about keeping the place white. He's prevented these immigrants from coming in there. He's got rid of Soros. He's got rid of Soros universities. He's got rid of gender studies. And the man is a true conservative. I think we can overlook some of his crony capitalism for the fact that he does appear to really have loyalty to Hungary, which is what we want in politicians. We want them to have loyalty to their own people. What's wrong with Donald Trump wanting to make America great again? All politicians should be wanting to do their best for their country. Nobody else is going to want to be doing the best for their country. You can't say, well, what we're going to do is the best for the whole world, because that means nobody is doing their best for your country. The rest of the world is going to be doing what's best for them. Crazy idea that we should be putting other countries' needs before our own. And Donald Trump being elected has really galvanized all these people to realize that and to think that and say, yeah, we want people that are doing the best for our country. And of course, this is why people like Marine Le Pen have followed in his footsteps, and a lot of other politicians. He's shown that it can be done, and it is popular, and that's what the people want. And most recently, the rise of the anti-immigration and Eurosceptic Sweden Democrats that saw a surge in support when Swedes hit the polls on September the 9th earlier this month. And I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but it does look like there was some dodgy dealings that went on there. When you look at the polls that said that the Sweden Democrats were going to win, and then they looked like they were going to win, and halfway through the night, the electoral machinery, all the software, shut down for 2 hours. And then when it came on again, the Sweden Democrats had dropped down to third place. They dropped down quite considerably from what the polls had said. And don't forget, the polls are inclined to make the nationalists appear as if they have far less support than they actually do. I mean, just take the Donald Trump election. There were polls on the night when Donald Trump got elected that said that it was going to be 99% for Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump was only going to get 1%. And all the polls leading up to that point showed that he wasn't anywhere near as popular as Clinton, because people are wary of actually telling the truth. They are wary of showing support for nationalist parties because of the pressure on them from the community around them. So when they're actually doing these polls, they're going to get a false result in favour of the leftists. So the Sweden Democrats should really have smashed it at those polls. They really should have come out with a massive majority. And I think that, you know, it's quite conceivable that is what would have happened. But there was dirty dealings that went on, and they switched the machinery off and switched the software off and changed the results. We'll have to see what happens, or whether there's more to that. If you check out Red Ice, Henrik has done a good report on that. Getting back to the Sweden Democrats, the party, it says here, has its roots in neo-Nazism. It doesn't have its roots in neo-Nazism at all. I mean, you might have a member that years back that was linked to National Socialism, but that doesn't mean it's a neo-Nazi party, as I say, any more than the SNP are a neo-Nazi party. They have gained almost twice the amount of votes they received during the last election, but they should have received four times the amount of votes they received. Left-wing politics has been stronger in Sweden than in almost any other country since Sweden's parliamentary democratic breakthrough in 1917, but it looks like the era of the left is coming to an end. Well, I do hope so. If you want to see just where left-wing policies lead, then just take a look at Sweden and look how the country has been destroyed by leftists. Look at the rate of crime, how that's shot through the roof. Look at the rapes that are going on there. I mean, brown robbers can just go into a cathedral and steal the crown jewels and make an escape, and nobody stops them. Nothing's done about it. The Sweden Democrats try to give a speech and they can be attacked by a mob of brown savages, and they just knock the police out of the way. The police are women. How can you have women supposedly there to keep a mob under control? Just if you want to see the damage that left-wing policies have, just look at Sweden in Europe, and look at Canada if you're in North America. So why is Europe seeing a surge in support for far-right populist parties. Erik Oddvar Eriksson, professor in European Studies at the University of Oslo, said, "Right-wing parties are good at collecting supporters during a crisis with populist policies and promises about how it will all get better." See, none of them will actually admit that right-wing parties are popular because they are calling it how it is, because they are the only ones that are saying they're going to deal with immigration, which is what is causing the problems. And no, this isn't to be blaming the immigrants for it all. You know, we blame the traitor politicians that opened up the borders and allowed these people to come into our countries and allowed them to call themselves by the same nationality that we are. That's what has caused the problem, giving these people the same rights that we have. There's no way they should have the same rights that we have if they are guests in our country. There's no way they should be able to take part in our heritage and claim our heritage as their own. It's theft. And it's not them that have stolen it from us. It's the traitor politicians that have stolen it from us and gifted it to them. They should have no right to call themselves European if they're not from Europe, if their ancestors' blood is not in the soil of the land that they're standing in, then they should have no right to call themselves by that name. It doesn't belong to them. Erik Oddvar Eriksson continues, "Parties that have a sceptical view on immigration have received great support in the last few years. For example, Trump in the United States and the National Front in France saw a surge in support for their strict migration policies." He added, "There has been a stream of immigrants to Europe in recent years, which is increasing the social and economic problems. And this is helping right-wing extremists and other nationalist parties gaining ground." So at least he's admitting it there. While the new Eurosceptic anti-immigration movements participate in electoral politics, many of them have, or used to have, unofficial links with vigilante groups. I wonder what they mean by vigilante groups here. Are these groups that have decided that electoral politics are not going to work and they're not going to be a way to actually get power, and they need to be forming parallel organisations that can help their communities out? Is that what they mean by vigilante groups? Would they call a group such as British Movement? Would they be a vigilante group? Would the English Defence League, would they be a vigilante group? Because they don't actually put people forward for electoral politics. I mean, we do need to have pressure groups as well, don't we? We need to have organisations that put pressure on the government to start paying attention to us and to start making policies that are actually going to benefit the people whose land it is, not benefit the intruder. And the way to do that, in a lot of cases, it's just a waste of time with electoral politics. Unless you have an established party, really, it's a waste of time. This is why I say, you know, people should be supporting UKIP. They are the only established nationalist, or even though they are civic nationalists, they are still nationalists. They are the only nationalist party that we have in Britain. So we should be supporting them. We have to support whoever it is in whatever field it is that is standing up for us, no matter how small the amount is that they are actually standing up for us. It's better than nothing at all. It's better than having nobody speaking up about immigration. At least UKIP are saying we need to stop people coming in that aren't actually any help to us and have completely different cultures to us. At least they're doing that, which is better than any of the other parties that I can think of. In France, Marine Le Pen's National Front has sponsored pork festivals in cities its members see as being in danger of losing their French identities because of the welcoming of immigrants into the country. And I guess what they're saying, that's an instance of vigilante groups. Well, what's wrong with sponsoring a pork festival in a city? Muslims don't eat pork, but they're not allowed to drink alcohol either. I mean, having a beer festival in Germany, that could be seen as vigilante groups, if pork festivals are going to be seen as vigilante groups. The migrant crisis is widely seen as the key to their success and an issue they have long campaigned on. But nationalist groups have been pointing out all the problems that we now have since after the war. After the war, when we started importing people from the Third World, that was when the nationalist groups started pointing out that the rivers were going to be running with blood, that we were going to see huge amounts of violence on our streets, that we were going to see half-caste children being born and our daughters sleeping with Negroes. This was being pointed out years ago. It's not just since the migrant crisis that this has been going on. Despite the reality of increasingly diverse European societies, this form of nativism has produced electoral results. It's not despite the reality of diversity, it's because of the reality of diversity that populist parties are getting electoral results. It's because we've seen what it's done to our communities. We've seen these people come into our communities, start selling drugs, start mugging, start robbing, start burgling, start grooming gangs, start their own violent criminal gangs that start throwing acid in each other's faces. We've now got more than one acid attack every day happening in Britain that never occurred on the soil of Britain before. We've now got problems with female genital mutilation. We've got problems with forced marriage. We've got problems with slavery. We've got a stabbing every day on the streets of London. We've got more murders in London than happen in New York. All of this was foretold by the nationalist parties as soon as the immigration started. It's all been proved true, and that is the reality of diversity. That's what is driving nationalism. This author seems to think that it's absolutely wonderful, this diversity. Despite all of that happening, nationalist parties are forming. Despite all these people getting stabbed, robbed and raped, people are supporting nationalist parties. Why don't they like being stabbed, robbed and raped, I wonder? Crazy people not wanting to be attacked like that. That's basically this article's author's thoughts on it. He thinks that it's wonderful that this is happening in Europe. He says the right now powerfully frames debates on immigration in Europe. Well, not powerfully enough, I would say. It's not powerful enough until we stop all immigration and start sending them back. I mean, just today in Britain here, we've got a report out which is saying that Britain needs to not prioritise European immigrants and should just treat them like everyone else, just treat them as if they're some low IQ Congoid that's just arrived on the boat. They need to be treated equally the same as a highly educated Hungarian that wants a job here. And they're saying that we should also stop the caps that we have on highly skilled workers. So they're saying there should be no caps whatsoever on workers. People should be able to come into the country with no qualifications whatsoever looking for a job. Now, if the right are now powerfully framing debates on immigration, why is that the headline news today? Why is that the report that's out? That hasn't been influenced at all by the immigration debate. If you talk to anyone in Europe, anyone that's white, they will tell you that they want a stop on immigration, that they don't want it to continue. And I guess you could say that maybe there are some crazy whites, some crazy liberal, loony, lefty whites that might think immigration should continue. But I bet even them will say, we have to have some limit to it. We can't just allow everybody in, such as jihadis and terrorists. But I find that everyone that I speak to is against it. And I don't just talk to nationalists. In fact, there's another report actually out today that says that half of all voters say immigration is straining public services. And nearly all of them think that MPs lie about the issue. Just 15% of people feel the government has managed immigration competently and fairly, while only 17% trust them to tell the truth about immigration in Britain. Look at that, only 17% trust the government to tell them the truth about being invaded. That's because we are being invaded, and none of the politicians are actually saying it. The paper, produced by a project called The National Conversation on Immigration, which quite clearly is going to be pro-immigration, reveals a quote-unquote shocking level of public mistrust over immigration. What is shocking is that it isn't 100% that are against it. What's shocking is that they are actually asking brown people how they feel about immigration into our country. That's what really gets me. Whenever they have programs about this, they'll have Muslims on there, they'll have Africans on there, talking about my country as if it's their country. It's not their country. It's not their country at all. They didn't build it. Their ancestors didn't build it. Their ancestors didn't fight for it. They just came over on a boat and were handed a piece of paper telling them they were British. That doesn't make you British. You're not British unless you look like Brutus. That's what makes you British. Many of the 20,000 people polled were divided on the issue, believing that immigration brought positive benefits to the country, although they had concerns about pressure on public services. What positive benefits can immigration have on a country? It's replacing the people that are in the country. That's not any positive benefit. Every person that comes into this country is going to have a certain share of the resources that they wouldn't have been taking before then. And those resources have been taken away from somebody that was in this country. Immigration is just displacement. It's population displacement. They displace the people that are already here. And it's just the fact of the matter. So how can that be positive in any way to displace the people that are already here? Jill Rutter, Director of Strategy for British Future and co-author of the report, said, "The lack of trust we found in the government to manage immigration is quite shocking." Yeah, but it's only logical that people aren't going to trust the government to manage immigration when they keep lying about it, when they keep failing to actually keep their promises to us and cut back on it. "Most people are pragmatic and have constructive ideas about the choices we face. They want a system that manages the pressures to secure the gains of immigration, but right now they don't trust the government to deliver it. We are having to build a new house every minute, and every single one of those new houses is for a foreigner. We don't actually produce enough white children to replace ourselves. Therefore, the houses that we already have is enough for all the white children. We already have enough houses for all the white children that are being born. So every single one of those new housing estates that they're putting up, on the greenfields land that's been there for centuries, every single one of them is for a foreigner. How is that positive for Britain in any possible way?" The ICM poll found that 65% of the public say migrants bring valuable skills to the economy and public services, such as the NHS, while 59% believe diversity is good for British culture. And I dare say that because they wanted to be diverse with this poll, they actually polled a lot of brown people. And people are conned. They don't bring valuable skills to the NHS. 70% of all the people struck off for incompetence at the NHS are non-white. Non-whites are 13 times more likely to be investigated for incompetence at the NHS. Is it valuable skills when they kill people? I mean, these people that said that they bring valuable skills to the NHS, I wonder if they would still be saying that if it's their grandmother that's just been killed by an African doctor. Diversity is good for British culture. How is rape gangs good for British culture? And they come up with this excuse, oh, it brings lots of new tasty food. Well, we can cook our own food. We're perfectly capable of reading our own recipe books and cooking food for ourselves. We don't need kebab shops. But 52% said public services are under strain as a result of immigration. Well under strain. We're now having to have queues to get into hospital. You can have to wait for months before you have an operation that you actually need to have the next day. It can take weeks before you can make an appointment just to see a doctor, let alone actually get to see a surgeon or have the operation done. 52% believe that migrants are willing to work for less money, putting jobs at risk and lowering wages. Some 61% agree that the government's performance on migration should be reviewed every year through an annual Migration Day in Parliament, which should involve consulting members of the public. They don't want to consult members of the public. Remember Gordon Brown? He consulted a member of the public, and she said, well, I'm worried about immigration. And what did he say? He called her a bigot for saying she was worried about immigration. That's the way that the government looks at us. They think we're bigots and neo-Nazis if we're worried about immigration. People also wanted migrants to integrate, with 61% agreeing with the statement, it is better when migrants commit to stay in Britain, put down roots and integrate. Well, that's because they're not actually thinking very far, are they? If these migrants come to stay in Britain, they put down roots and integrate, that means that they're going to interbreed with the white people, and that means there are going to be no more British people, because the British genome will be diluted and watered down with brown people until we turn brown. And then that's it. No more British people. That's the end result of migrants integrating. No, we don't want them to integrate. We want them to go back to their own homelands. The report calls for an annual Migration Day in Parliament, where ministers are held accountable for their performances against a three-year immigration strategy in place of the current net migration target. The net migration target that they've consistently failed to achieve. The Conservatives won the election on a promise to get migration down to 10,000 people a year. And they've never been able to achieve it. It's in the millions. It's in the millions. Like Germany with its 2 million people that came in that year. When you think about all the illegal immigration as well as the legal immigration, the legal immigration into Britain is in the hundreds of thousands, not 10,000 a year like Dave Cameron promised. We need a political party that says they're going to stop all immigration and they're going to start sending the people that are here back. And that doesn't have to be done in a nasty way, or we can just take the benefits away from them. Just say, well, sorry, you're not a citizen. You're not actually British. You don't have the same rights that the British people have. You don't have a right to the hospital. You don't have a right to the school. You don't have a right to housing. And then they would soon start self-deporting themselves, as has happened in America, where you've got a lot of these illegal immigrants are self-deporting back to Mexico, thanks to the decent and righteous policies of Donald Trump. Anyway, we've gone a little bit over time, so thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.